Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we look ahead to the events going on around the world in the upcoming week. Thank you so much if you're joining us. It's a busy one this week, so we better get straight into it, starting with Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. Now, the first event I've got this week, Afshin, this particular one, it is actually unclear whether it's happening on Monday, but it will certainly be happening at some point this week. The Israeli delegation is paying a visit to the USA to meet with White House officials over Gaza and the potential full-scale attack on Rafah by Israel that we've been hearing about for several weeks now. Though it is a bit complex, although the US
has the UN resolution, by which time people who are watching Forecast News subscribe, obviously, by which time the resolution will either have been vetoed by Biden or not. The ceasefire resolution from Russia and China, Algeria.
Well, there was obviously the resolution on Friday that didn't go through.
Fake one.
But it's interesting, though, that the Israeli delegation is going to be there because, as we know, somewhat unconvincingly, I guess, the US has been trying to dissuade Israel from this operation. And we know that despite what you may say,
it's arming Israel.
Yeah, and well, this is what I was about to say.
Giving them, what, if I was to persuade you, Millie, don't do this, here's a gun. I mean, come on.
Well, this is why I say
definitely not trying to dissuade Israel from genocide. Because if I told you, Millie, don't kill that person, and then gave you more guns to kill that person, that is not dissuading anyone.
Absolutely. And this is why I say unconvincingly so, and, you know, very weakly trying to suggest
this. But
I will say, despite the fact that, yes, US is still sending weapons to Israel, there has been, as we know, growing tensions in the last few weeks. I mean, we know Netanyahu and Biden haven't been taking daily phone calls for several months as they were in the start.
How do we know?
Well, we can never know anything for sure.
That's what the PR operation's trying to tell us. They are absolutely stuck together. The donors, the elite Zionist donor class are in with Biden. Biden has to rely on their money because American democracy works on money, not on the American people. And so this is just trying to make people an idiot in the propaganda media think, oh, there are these different, there are no tensions. Biden has to win in November. He's in with the genocide. Do you have any quotes from this Israeli Defense Minister, Yoav Gallant, who's meeting with Blinken today as part of these meetings you mentioned?
That was meeting with Lloyd Austin as well, actually, this week. No, is there a particular quote that you're...
Gallant, comments from him have been used by the South African and Arab League petition to the World Court to demonstrate that genocide is being carried out. So Blinken is literally with someone who's known for comments that are being used at the World Court for genocide. And as for Lloyd Austin, the Raytheon director with cancer, it's clear that he will be overjoyed by meeting Israelis. I think his health will improve, knowing how much money he stands to earn from the genocide, because, of course, Raytheon missiles are a huge part of the mass murder of babies and hospitals in and schools in Gaza.
Do you think then it's just for show that, I mean, Biden has kind of been suggesting, hasn't he, as some of the US officials are, that they want Netanyahu out? And I think Netanyahu has given sort of anti-Biden remarks.
The staged hot mic moment was great, I thought, wasn't it, the other day? The coming to Jesus moment. And I mean, you know, one has to be a complete idiot to think there is a sheet of paper between Netanyahu and Biden. Biden is completely arming this genocide. Netanyahu could not do it without him. And I think today more weapons have been sent and ammunition to murder the children of Gaza.
Why do you think they are having this sort of public tiffs? Why are they doing that?
Oh, to make it look to the Democrat base who oppose the genocide in the United States, the 100,000 in Michigan, who at the primary would rather have no one than have Biden as the candidate in November, to somehow try and appease the base. AOC, apparently, has been trying to say something now, finally, even for her, 30,000, mostly women and children, is about the right number for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to be slaughtered. So even she is now saying no. So clearly a lot of pressure within the Democrat Party. So what does Biden and Blinken and Nuland, and Nuland's gone, all these people go? They go, oh, let's just say there's a huge amount of tension between us and Israel. People in Congress don't believe it. The Democrat base doesn't believe it. And it's obviously paving the way for a Trump victory. Can I just go on to something? I mean, obviously the terrible atrocity in Russia is continuing to make propaganda waves, just like that Biden-Netanyahu thing. The lies that somehow ISIS-K has nothing to do with Israel, has nothing to do with Ukraine. We have picked, I mean, all the Western European and American sources who are backing the neo-Nazis of Ukraine, who still can't work out who did the Nord Stream attack, despite Cy Hirsch, our good friend, the uncoverer of the My Lai massacre. They can't even work out the Nord Stream, but they know it's ISIS-K that committed the atrocity in Moscow, because it's definitely them. I mean, how quick were they? And how quick were they?
Just now.
How quick were they to immediately say, it's definitely not Ukraine? Well, you can't prove a negative. How are the Americans suddenly saying, it's definitely not Ukraine? Well, forget it. You know, the security headquarters of the SBU, presumably involved in the atrocity, although we don't know for sure yet, has been hit by a ballistic missile. It's the end of Ukraine for this one, I think.
Well, this is it, though. I mean, on the Russia thing is, you know, as of this recording, there's still so much speculation and investigation still ongoing. I mean, we've heard ISIS say it was them, but I think
how have we heard it's ISIS, it's them? Who is ISIS-K?
Okay.
It's ISIS-K in your door. Have they just rung your doorbell?
I'm saying it's one of them, clearly.
I'll try and look up ISIS-K for a phone number, because I can't find one.
Okay.
I do know there are pictures of Netanyahu on the illegally occupied Golan Heights at a field hospital, Israeli field hospital, treating ISIS-Daesh-linked patients right there and then. I know that there are pictures of ISIS-Daesh supporting individuals with the neo-Nazis in Ukraine trying to kill Russians. So ISIS-K. What are these ISIS-K? A bit like the Free Syrian Army, are they? Or what's the other one in Idlib in Syria? These are all CIA cutouts. And increasingly, we're finding out the role of the British intelligence service, MI6, in this. And that's what's terrifying, of course. I don't condone the torture by Russia of these suspects, making them as bad as the Americans in Guantanamo Bay, which is still open, their torture camp in occupied Cuba. But let's face it, if it is drawn to MI6 and CIA, I think Russia will go for MI6 as an easier target than Langley.
Well, look, the point I was going to make here is you've got this so-called ISIS, who apparently have come out and said it was them, albeit with no evidence, and I think they do have a history of saying it was them when it wasn't.
Who says it? I really don't understand who this. There's no statements. This is all rubbish, isn't it?
Okay. Well, it came through like Telegram Messenger, I believe, wasn't it? Was where the statement came. But it doesn't matter, because the point is NATO nation media we're seeing, the UK, the US, they're saying, you know, they're ignoring that. And they're saying, oh, well, it's Russia, because they're, you know, known for false flag operations. They're saying it's Russia. Russia is saying it's Ukraine. Someone called ISIS is saying it's them. You've got some parties saying it's the US and Israel. And you've got all these camps who seem to be wanting it to be the organization they want it to be, to kind of push their agenda. And I would almost say that these camps kind of almost don't care who actually did it. They just want it to be whoever they think is the bad guy, would you say? And I think all these camps are finding their own evidence to be the person they want it to be.
Some really terrible Al-Qaeda 9/11-y type organization that was responsible. Clearly, that would be disastrous for Western Europe and the United States, They would show solidarity with the people of Palestine, as Russia does. And it would we would see horrible terror attacks in Western Europe and the United States echoing what happened in Moscow. The fact is, these groups never attack Israel. I think they apologized, the real ISIS, Daesh, whatever that was, when it once hit some sort of Zionist target. They never attack, you know, they never attack the occupying troops in eastern Syria, northeastern Syria, that the American troops there. They attack Assad's troops. This is just as the United States supported the Mujahideen in Afghanistan that would morph into Al-Qaeda, links that would cause 9/11. I mean, it is exactly NATO nations that are behind Islamic terrorism. So I think that is absolutely obvious. The entire global South realizes it. Of course, one could say it was convenient for the Russians if it's Ukraine, but could one really? This is a failure for Putin's intelligence services, who, while not being given intel, refusal from Washington to give intel, at least had a little notice on the website of the U.S. Embassy saying, don't go to concert halls in Moscow. I mean, you know, that is a failure of Russian security agencies. So that doesn't look good for Putin. It's a failure for Russia in terms of his overall, after just being elected, being said he's going to protect Russia. No. Who wins? Cui bono? The ancient...
Well, we know we're going to move on from this.
You don't win from this, and that is the people of Ukraine, because those that haven't fled, the poorer ones, the rich ones have all left, they're going to pay a terrible price for this atrocity.
Okay. Well, look, my final note on this, I think that, you know, the tragedy is we may never really know who was behind this, because I'm sure that the camps responsible will never come forward. And as
we know about Nord Stream now.
As we've said in the show before, it's very much alleged. There's still no evidence of who committed the Nord Stream attack. Obviously, we've heard sources that it was the US. We know that. Obviously, they deny it. But we don't know for sure it is the problem.
JFK, do we? The Americans can't even solve the assassination of their own president, let alone Nord Stream, let alone the Moscow Crocus concert.
And the tragedy is this may be just another one of those issues that we never really get to the bottom of. But I'm sure there will be ongoing investigations.
Well, I think the Russians will get some evidence that's, I think evidence from torture is inadmissible. Presumably there'll be some real evidence. One of the attackers, mercenaries, whatever, Ukrainian ID papers.
Well, look, we really must move on from this. I'm sure our audience will be able to follow the ongoings into this later in the week. And if you subscribe, you'll be able to hear us talk more about that in later weeks if we hear more on it. But I just want to mention also on Monday, on Russia, the UN Security Council is meeting on Monday at the request of Russia, actually, to talk about the 25th anniversary of the start of the NATO bombing on Serbia in 1999. Obviously, it was then Yugoslavia. It's now Serbia. And this was a bombing campaign that lasted about 3 months from March to June in 1999. Now, as always, it's a little bit complicated, you may say, Afshin, it's not, but I'll just give a bit of context. Now, NATO said, you know, they did this to stop Serbian oppression of the ethnic Albanian majority, as previous peace agreements in Kosovo failed. But on the other hand, it was the first time that NATO had actually attacked without provocation a sovereign European country. And there is still today a lot of questions over whether NATO the legality of that under international law. And the UN, if you remember, the UN International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia had rejected requests to investigate this, though it did prosecute individuals for committing war crimes. But interestingly, in 2015, Afshin, I don't know if you remember this, NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg did actually make a speech in Montenegro, which is also formerly Yugoslavia. And he said of the attack, He said, "I deeply regret everything that happened. We made every possible effort to prevent the loss of innocent lives, the loss of civilians. But unfortunately, in this particular case, we could not avoid it. Innocent people were killed. And this is why we sincerely regret it." So what do you make of this conflict?
We couldn't avoid it. They bombed television. They bombed the television station, arguably with the connivance of Christian Amanpour of CNN. This was an illegal invasion. Milosevic, demonized in the West, in NATO nations, was exonerated at the International Criminal Court, died in custody. They couldn't find anything. If you look at those, I remember it well. I was in Dubai when NATO bombed the Chinese embassy, and we thought the Chinese would react. This was an attempt to destroy Yugoslavia, which still had a working healthcare system, which was fighting neoliberalism, fighting privatization. It was refusing to be part of the new neoliberal order with privatized electricity, of water, of healthcare. Milosevic didn't want that. And the big companies that were anxious to get in and try and, like in all these other formerly USSR countries, go in there and reap the profits that had been of investment that had been there for decades after World War II. They tried to go in there. They did successfully destroy Yugoslavia. Hundreds of thousands killed. And this was John Major in Britain. And then later, although this is the 25th anniversary, John Major was initially, and then Blair, of course, later on. And we had Clinton, all these names of people who destroyed something, a country so important in the fight against Nazism. The Yugoslav partisans of Tito. It was a terrible time, I should say, even covering that war, because you just saw the complete propaganda. Noam Chomsky's written some wonderful work about the propaganda model being honed by the BBC and CNN and these outlets to harm humanity. I should just say, what a day for this anniversary, that Britain seems to be announcing its exiting from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Rishi Sunak, the unelected by popular vote prime minister in Britain, is in Barrow-in-Furness in the north of England, where they make nuclear weapons submarines or something. They don't really work, though. That's what lots of people say. And in fact, it's not an independent nuclear deterrent, according to some leaked papers. And the Defense Department in Britain issuing a new paper showing they're going to spend hundreds of millions of British public money on nuclear weapons. So, Millie, I hope you got some shares in on those defense stocks, because clearly a lot of money to be made from weapons that hopefully will never have to be used and certainly won't probably ever be able to be launched by a British prime minister.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that's happening on Monday, because on Tuesday there'll be a briefing from the 1540 committee on the non-proliferation of
1540.
Weapons. So, 1540. Is that what
you say? 1540 committee.
Yeah, is that how you say it?
What's the 1540 committee?
That's just what it is.
I don't even know
the
what
the committee 15... is. The committee that's discussing this. It's part of the UN, of course.
Committee. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, well. That's them.
1540, something about Henry VIII.
1540,
1540? I don't know. How do you say it? 1540 committee. Well,
that
no
doubt. Is apparently
people the watching committee. This can tell me of my ignorance and inform me why I should never have been ignorant of that.
Well, that seems to be the case. But I just actually want to quickly, before we move on to Tuesday, just very quickly on Monday, some people may remember this. Monday is 55 years to the day that the assassinated Beatles member John Lennon and his wife Yoko Ono held their Beds in for Peace protest against the Vietnam War.
I'm going back on that. The 50-40 committee at the UN, you meant. I thought of the UK.
Oh, no, of the UN.
Biological weapons.
I said UN.
Sorry, my mistake. Yeah, no, of course, the 1540 committee, biological weapons.
Of course.
Yeah, clearly. Still, it's funny, you still hear about them using napalm and who knows what else, biological weapons in Cuba and Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, yeah, I was just mentioning Monday, 55 years since the Beatles member John Lennon and Yoko Ono did their beds in peace protest against the Vietnam War, which is basically for a couple of weeks they kind of went into buildings or in or out and kind of just laid there in a bed and didn't move until they were arrested or evicted or they got their requests met. And I believe you can watch a documentary of that actually and see footage of that on YouTube.
Still making news this many years on. How long ago was it?
It was 55 years ago.
Effective demonstration since Millie Pinch is mentioning a John Lennon demonstration, although I think Yoko Ono has some exhibition on at the moment.
Yeah, and we'll go actually back onto the Vietnam War later on in the week. But Tuesday, let's go fully onto that. I know we're sort of running out of time. Tuesday, the UN Security Council is holding a briefing on the UN Resolution 2334 over Israel's establishment of settlements in the occupied Palestinian territory. Now, if you remember, I think we mentioned this report, it was a couple of weeks ago, that the UN Human Rights Report said the size of existing Israeli settlements has expanded markedly, and between the period of the 1st of November 2022 to the 31st of October 2023, about 24,300 housing units were advanced within existing Israeli settlements in the West Bank, which is the highest on record since the records, they began monitoring it in 2017. So perhaps that will be discussed at Tuesday's briefing. But it's quite shocking, isn't it? As we've heard about the Israeli settlements and further reports to come out that this seems to be ongoing in the backdrop of the atrocities.
How are they building all these houses? I mean, who's giving them all the construction equipment and all the technology to make these illegal houses after they shoot dead the families, demolish the houses of the families, Palestinian families there? Pretty sure they're British. Pretty sure they're British.
There are several, I'm sure.
There was a Caterpillar bulldozer that killed Rachel Corrie, the American activist. Yeah, I mean, the fact that these companies can go on trading in NATO nations, these British, American, Western European and American companies aiding this settlement activity, is appalling. I notice you don't care about the Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte in China. What's he doing there? Is he trying to ask for protection in case the Americans bomb the ICJ building?
Well, actually, I don't know what you're looking at, but I believe that's on Wednesday, and we've actually not yet moved on to Wednesday. So why don't you just hold your horses a second, because I've got that as Wednesday. But I will just mention that, but I want to link that in with Tuesday as well. French President Emmanuel Macron on Tuesday is jet-setting off to Brazil, and this is the man who is risked really starting World War III by talking about sending troops into Ukraine, who either potentially deployed them or already. He's going to Brazil for a three-day stay there, and he's going to meet with Brazilian President Lula da Silva, which seemingly a bit random.
He would be doing that in Brazil, in fairness.
Well,
he's a good friend of ours, President Lula.
But you've got a global South leader and a strong NATO member who disagree on a lot of issues, but they certainly don't agree on the Russia-Ukraine conflict, because I believe one of the reasons Macron is going there is to actually change the mind of Lula on the issue, and Lula, who hasn't outright criticized Putin at all, certainly since the start of this war. So I think he kind of wants to lobby a bit on that, and also to talk about the Mercosur agreement, which is the EU trade agreement between the EU and certain Mercosur states, Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, that was reached in 2019. So seemingly a random one.
President Lula, who was previously overthrown by CIA-backed forces and jailed, that Lula would meet Macron, I think 71% latest opinion polls in France want him dead. No, they oppose him. They just want him rid of Macron. He's the most unpopular president in French history. It's pretty bad that Lula would actually be pictured talking to a man who's supplying weapons for the Gaza genocide, isn't it? Doesn't look very good It's not good.
I guess this is all about, you know, the globalist international world we live in today. These leaders are talking with other leaders, and it's happening all the time. It may not be in the news, but it's happening. And
that's where we're Biden. In fact, I think, frankly, you know what would be a lot better? It would be that in Hainan, China, Lula should be there at the Bao Forum for the BRICS, big conversations on business growth in BRICS. Better for the Brazilian population, maybe.
Perhaps, but the other meetings that are going on, the way, so you mentioned Xi Jinping. Now, I think this is going on for a few days. So you saw Tuesday, I've got Wednesday. But the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, is going to be meeting with Xi Jinping. Again, seemingly random. Pardon?
Rutte.
Rutte. I think. Rutte. But this is apparently actually to do with a trade dispute over the export of computer chips.
Of what?
Of computer chips. So the Dutch government, I believe, was interfering and had denied licenses for chip equipment makers.
Intel and AMD. China's had enough of this rubbish.
Yeah,
you think that China's blocking Dutch chips? I didn't even know Dutch chips were a thing.
Well, yeah, it seems that, yeah, the particular chip equipment maker, they've
AMD
production
from that.
That's right. So I expect they're going to be hashing that out this week anyway. And also, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni is jetting out to Beirut, of all places, to be meeting with the Lebanese Prime Minister. Though that is set to take place on Thursday, though she'll be jetting out on Wednesday. But yeah, so all of these all the time are going on, these leaders.
Italy is supplying the weapons to kill the children of Gaza. How, what are Hezbollah politicians in Beirut going to be saying to Giorgia Meloni? How's it going? Happy Ramadan.
Well, this is it.
Is it safe for Meloni, knowing the scale of the anger about the genocide in Gaza further down the coast?
So some strange kind of pairings, I think, happening this week, or at least on the face of it anyway.
I think it shows a terrible situation as regards the Islamic world, although, of course, Lebanon is tripartite with different sections of the communities running Lebanon. Very, very bad that these NATO nation leaders, Macron, Meloni, can wander around the world with impunity as they allow the export of weapons to murder children. In any normal world, these people would be arrested, wouldn't they, in any rules-based order.
Okay. Well, I just want to quickly finish Wednesday and just move on to a hearing on Wednesday as part of the Hunter Biden case, which we've talked about a few times, over tax charges. That's President Joe Biden's son, if you're struggling to keep up with the Biden family. And those charges that he failed to file and pay tax, which he...
International Ukrainian energy executive, don't you mean?
Okay, if that's how you would like to introduce him, he's said to have not paid. He's been running like a 4-year scheme to not pay over $1 million in tax between 2016 and 2019. He denies it, of course. And there's set to be a trial to begin on the 20th of June. And you would be forgiven if you're struggling to keep up with all of this. We've had Hunter Biden news on trial. There's been committee hearings against Joe Biden and his brother James Biden. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's political opponent Trump is having trial date started, so it's all a bit of a mess, and it's hard to really keep up with them all.
You didn't believe it when we were talking to Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, mayor of America after 9/11. Mm-hmm. We didn't believe it. You didn't believe it. Remember when we were still talking to Giuliani? He had that laptop he showed us, and we said, and he was just going on and on about Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
I don't think many people, it was very difficult to take Giuliani seriously at the time. Or maybe we're at fault for listening to too much NATO nation propaganda and not taking him more seriously when he outlined.
Well, this is a separate thing, though, isn't it? This is related to the tax charges.
Not the crack in the sex workers. He was talking about Ukraine as well back then.
Yeah, but there's several cases involving Hunter Biden. So again, it makes it hard to keep up with the amount. With the amount that's happening, I just want to quickly mention before we move on to Thursday as well, On Wednesday, it's Myanmar Armed Forces Day, where Myanmar celebrates the day the Burma Independence Army revolted against Japanese occupation forces during World War II, and it's usually commemorated by a military parade. Myanmar, obviously, currently now embroiled in a civil war, but shan't go on to that
is
too
it?
Much. But that's-
Myanmar isn't in a civil war, is it? It's just being helped by China. Even the NATO nations are quite quiet about what's going on there, because trying to swing that Burmese junta into a geopolitical alignment, but it looks like they're going towards the Chinese, towards China. You never mentioned Senegal, what happened. It's not a good thing for Macron as he's in Brazil. But the thing I was going to tell you, you didn't mention.
Try me.
I don't know. I think I've deleted it. I can't see it. Anyway, UN Security Council going to discuss the ceasefire between Israel and Syria.
That's right. Yes, on Wednesday.
What ceasefire between Israel and Syria? There isn't one. They're bombing the ancient cities of Syria every other day with American and British weaponry. I don't know what. I think the UN's got the wrong scheduling there for Wednesday, is that?
That seemed to be Wednesday. But yes, I mean, several UN Security Councils meetings going on, as there always is. Mentioned a few of them already. But Thursday, I want to move on to something a little bit different that I don't think we've mentioned yet on this show, kind of keeping in with the theme of law and order. The FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried is being sentenced on Thursday as part of his conviction of fraud, money laundering, and financial law violations. He's expected to get 40 to 50 years in prison, I believe, with up to a maximum of 110 years. Now, this, actually, I think, is a really fascinating case, if you agree. It's similar to the likes of Theranos' founder, Elizabeth Holmes, who was sentenced to 11 years for a similar.
Because they knew posh people, you mean?
Well,
that's how they got the funding.
Well, this is it. It's kind
of. You might have to explain Theranos. Not everyone watched that mini series.
No, well, this is what I mean. You've got Elizabeth Holmes. I mean, even liking it to Anna Sorokin with that other series.
Henry Kissinger helped promote a woman who thought that you could get blood tests by a prick in the finger, and it was all nonsense. But so many millions of dollars she got because she knew people like criminals.
And it was meant to revolutionize the health industry. And very similarly with Sam Bankman-Fried, I'm sure most of our audience are aware of him, but he was like the poster boy, if you like, for crypto, wasn't he? And he was ranked as one of the richest men in the US. He did several TV interviews saying he wanted to become rich so he could give all his money away to charity and to good causes. He was a quirky character, as I think Elizabeth Holmes was as well. But, you know, turns out he was running this calculated, quite dodgy firm, as with Elizabeth Holmes, and got away with it for many years and fooled these rich men.
You know, didn't Zelensky have these FTX coins? I mean, there were some people that said that it helped finance the even before the Russians went in to save the people of Eastern Ukraine. Was it helping? Were there some payments in that particular crypto token?
Well, look, there was so many. I mean,
but at the same time, what doesn't fit, if he was indeed used by the CIA and that whole company, which is why it got so much money, it was basically a money crypto laundering firm to help American interests. Where is all the money now? Because the investors in FTX got nothing out of it. And yet the coins that are associated with the FTX exchange have gone up by hundreds of percent.
Well, that's right. And the thing is that I think about $8 billion is owed to these investors or people who have put money into FTX. They're not likely to ever get it back, is my understanding. But, well, this is
the question. Have gone up so much, those crypto coins, since then. It must be worth more.
Well, I think what happened, wasn't it, that the money that was being invested was being used for other things, wasn't it? Sam Bankman-Fried was putting this money elsewhere. So he was spending this money. So effectively went bankrupt. So that money is no longer there. But it's just fascinating, isn't it? I mean, you saw investors talking about how, you know, they would have these highly trained people who, you know, are trained to like look at these books and detect any signs of fraud or any issues. And, you know, they were saying that the books looked impeccable and there was no signs of any issues. Obviously not enough that he didn't get caught. But
anything going to happen to those audit firms? Anything going to happen to them? The same people that presumably audited Lehman Brothers and who knows else? You know, I love crypto and, you know, it's clear that crypto, which is used to destroy NATO nation attempts to hurt other economies, can be used by the CIA cutouts. And that is, of course, a problem of this new currency. You're going to go to the Radio City Music Hall on Thursday. We're on Thursday, aren't we?
We are.
We're on Thursday.
Good you're keeping up. I hope everyone else is keeping up.
So Clinton, Bill Clinton, that's the butcher of Libya, 25 mm-hmm. years on. The butcher of Libya, Obama, who drone bombed more people than George W. Bush, and Biden are all at Radio City Music Hall. Is that right? Did I read that right?
Yeah, that's right. There's a Joe Biden a fundraising event. There's going to be celebrities performing there, a music event. And yes, he did invite former Presidents Obama and Clinton to join him as well. So
what celebrity is going to pose with three genocidal maniacs like Obama, Clinton, and Biden while the Gaza genocide is scrolling on everyone's phones? Who would?
Well, I know Lizzo is one of them, and I know there's a bit of controversy surrounding her at the minute. So
what is that?
Well, there's these allegations of sort of being mistreating her staff and some sexual allegations, I believe, as well. But, you know, that's a whole other thing.
He denies everything. But what other celebrities are going to be there?
I don't have the list, but there are quite a few.
Anyway, near them, what with friendship with Bella Hadid. I can't actually imagine any big pop stars. Bono, probably there, because he celebrates every year the lies about Sudan, presumably.
I don't know that there are many household names. I did see the list earlier, but there's certainly nothing of note that
Bruce Springsteen, probably.
Perhaps. But just quickly before we go on to Friday, I want to mention another thing that's happening on Thursday is Poland and Ukraine are going to be holding talks over grain. And this is about cheap Ukrainian grain being imported into Poland, which Polish farmers have said is threatening to bankrupt them effectively. And what's basically happened here, if you remember, is the EU scrapped tax and duties and quotas on grain imports from Ukraine after Russia's invasion. And at the end of February, Polish farmers had blockaded crossings to Ukraine, which caused a backlog of disruption for grain to get in, though Ukraine has denied its grain imports have damaged EU markets. But again, I think they're going to try and hash this out, perhaps. But there's a lot of tension there, isn't it, with this whole grain thing? And that seems caused a lot of problems over the last
And farmers in France, farmers all over the European Union. What the hell is this country, Ukraine, led by a guy who's banned elections, banned that persecuted the church, banned opposition newspapers? Zelensky is this dictator of this area, which is funded by the United States. Why should all the crops from Ukraine be given preferential treatment over European, Western European, European Union member country farmers? I mean, it is quite amazing how the Americans can order Brussels to just wave through the destruction of farmers' lives in Spain and France and Poland. It's shocking. I mean, of course, more shocking, the farmers haven't done more. I know they've brought France to a halt occasionally, but really, the farmers of Western Europe better get wise to the fact their governments are supporting neo-Nazis. Thursday, 85 years since fascist General Franco, armed by the US, UK, and now EU, captured Madrid. What a day for the 85th anniversary with Western European countries and the United States again gripped by the fascism of Ukraine.
What a day. Well, there are a lot of anniversaries this week after. And Friday, actually, Friday is, by the way, if you're Christian, it's Good Friday. So happy Good Friday if you're celebrating that. But it's also 1 year to the day that the Wall Street Journalist, Evan Gershkovich, was jailed in Russia over suspected
espionage. Huh? Yeah, the Murdoch journalist, Rupert Murdoch's journalist.
Okay, journalist, nevertheless. Now, Russia says that he had collected what it says was state secrets about the military-industrial complex. He denies the charges of espionage and says he was engaged in journalist activities in Russia.
He didn't collect state secrets like WikiLeaks' Julian Assange being tortured in Britain, though.
Well, this is what I was actually going to ask you about.
Facilities. Wasn't he taking photographs? It'd be like us wandering up to the CIA and going around the back and taking photographs and everything. And
well, he denies that he was doing any of that. But that's an interesting point, though, Afshin. Like, how do we differentiate him compared to Julian Assange? Like, are these very different cases? Are they similar? Like, how can we compare?
Julian Assange clearly was just the publisher. Julian Assange is the Rupert Murdoch figure, in effect, publishing the stories given to him by all these amazing sources showing the wrongdoing of the United States and Britain and Russia and all these different countries. Whereas this guy, what's his name?
Evan Gershkovich.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him before. Works for Rupert Murdoch, for a start. And we know Rupert Murdoch's malign influence all around the world. He takes the money of Rupert Murdoch.
You just cut out there.
Oh, is that because Rupert Murdoch owns this?
You're back.
Is that because Rupert Murdoch owns this streaming platform? Is that why it went? When did it go? Did it go just there?
Anyway, I just saw you go black.
This journalist works for Rupert Murdoch. That's pretty odd to start with. And then he's found, I think he's admitted to trying to do stuff on the security state using sources. But what was he doing in these areas? When I think there were huge stories going on in Moscow at the same time. That's what I've been told. Of course, I'm not for journalists ever being arrested. Clearly, they should, if they're genuine journalists, be allowed to do what they want to do. But, Rupert Murdoch's journalists are clearly suspect in any country.
All right. Well, I just have to declare I did work for Sky News, so
Sky News is Comcast. No, nothing to do with Murdoch. Was Murdoch the only one when you were there?
I actually joined Sky News on the day that Comcast took over, so maybe that makes
me okay. You refused to work for Sky News while Rupert Murdoch was working there.
So maybe that makes me okay. But I will just say
You haven't mentioned Kate Middleton, actually, since this started, which is the real big story, and Sky News being pummeled. Did you notice, by the way, the British MP, George Galloway, his numbers on YouTube when it's on live are double, triple that of Sky News, where he used to work.
Well, Sky News is a rolling live news, so generally rolling live news doesn't really get that many views.
But one MP in Parliament does a thing on... Very odd. I'm surprised you didn't mention the competitor.
You've also got to remember Sky News is actually on television, where people...
Yeah, of course.
He's exclusively online, so there is a...
Well, he's still defending them, clearly. Clearly trying to defend them. Anyway, it's competitive with TV News, which would say they're at the forefront of modern news compared to Sky News. Did you notice that China, Russia, and Iran are fueling attacks on Princess Kate? And it was actually Putin, Xi Jinping, and Ayatollah Khamenei that forced Princess Kate Middleton to confess to having cancer. Interesting.
Okay. I said we would go back to the Vietnam War, and on Friday, National Vietnam War Veterans Day, which is held in the US to celebrate the veterans of the Vietnam War.
Celebrate, commemorate
those who served. But I just want to mention a few things.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't these veterans be judged at Nuremberg? Taking orders is no defense. Shouldn't all these veterans be serving long times in prison? They knew that they were complicit in the genocide in Indochina.
Well, I guess you're talking about the controversy here, right, with regards to the Vietnam War, which I was going to get on to. Of course, the Vietnam War was very much considered a proxy between the US and Russia. Many Americans at the time opposed the war on Vietnam, including John Lennon and his wife, who we mentioned earlier. Many claimed it was a war against Vietnamese independence. Some say it didn't have clear objectives. Having said that, 58,220 US soldiers died in this war for a war that many feel that they shouldn't have been a part of at all and shouldn't have happened, and in total around 2.5 million people died in this war.
Why didn't they do what Muhammad Ali did? dodged the draft. Remember what Muhammad Ali, didn't he go to jail? Said he refused. Why are they killing black people at home? They want me to kill yellow people over there. What the hell are they talking about?
And also if...
It says a lot about America and hopefully how it's changed. No way the United States could have a draft. And there are apparently very few people wanting to join up in the U.S. military. It says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, you say about it changing, but if you remember, it was 1970 amidst the Vietnam War, where Edwin Starr, wasn't it, the American singer, brought that song out against the Vietnam War.
Amazing music, of course.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Motown, lots of Motown, I guess. Marvin Gaye.
But those comments still true today as ever, don't they? So I'm
That's an interesting thing. You know, it's really interesting there that then you had this culture, counterculture of all these amazing musicians, these actors, writers, academics talking about this. Where are all the music stars talking about the Zelensky neo-Nazis in Eastern Ukraine? They're the ones with Ukrainian flags. They're not even expressing shame and sadness about what happened in Moscow a week before. Where are all the stars? Where are all the buildings in Western Europe clothed in the Russian flag to express solidarity with the innocent civilians who were killed and gunned down or burnt to death? Where is that? Because, of course, the whole of Western culture has been captured. The pop stars, the actors, the fashion designers, the models, everything in these arguably culturally declining areas of the world have no opposition to their leaders. They are captured by power.
Captured? Oh, okay. Not physically captured.
I can't even... Yeah. Is there one actor who... Steven Seagal. Yeah. You know, are there any real... Depardieu. Are there any really major actors in Britain? Direct film directors? I saw Ken Loach's film the other day. It backed, it seemed to me... The Syrian Free Army, the ISIS-Daesh people. That's Ken Loach, considered a great filmmaker of the left culture. Obviously, there are honorable exceptions, especially in the fashion industry, who support the Palestinian cause. Okay. Very few that support the Russian cause against Zelensky.
Okay. Well, we're really running over on time here. So I'll go on to Saturday. You mentioned Gaza. On Saturday, it's the
Easter Saturday.
Pardon?
Easter Saturday.
Easter Saturday. Easter Sunday, though, is the Easter day.
Israel, of course, bombed the church in Gaza. The Christians of Gaza will not have anywhere. Presumably, they can even pray, given the killing of all the Christians in Gaza.
Saturday is the Palestinian Land Day, which has been held annually since 1976, and that commemorates a strike that was held in March of that year that was in protest against plans by the Israeli government to seize land owned by Arabs for security and settlement purposes. Now, this has been a day that's been marked by Palestinians all around the world and has often resulted in clashes with the Israeli security forces. And this loops back earlier to what we were saying about the Israeli settlements in the report by the UN. And this day now is against the backdrop of this renewed atrocities and awfulness going on that we've seen since the end of the last year. So perhaps it will mean more now than ever before, don't you think, this Palestinian Land Day?
Forget the Muslims. Obviously, Jesus is seen as a saint in Islam. Will the Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Anglican Protestant Church, or the Pope in the Vatican in Rome be talking about the fact that Italy and Britain send arms, fund the arms being sent to Netanyahu to murder Christians? I don't think they do they? What cleric, maybe in Latin America, clearly, Southeast Asia, the Christian communities all over there will be saying it. I don't think the Pope will be saying to Meloni, institute sanctions, stop the selling of arms to murder Christians in Gaza. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll surprise us.
Who knows?
I don't think we'll expect anything from the Archbishop of Canterbury, certainly.
Maybe not, but of course Sunday, as I just said, is Easter Sunday, a commercialized Christian holiday, of course, will be celebrated by many around the world. So happy Easter if you're celebrating that on Sunday. But this is a mixed Sunday as well, which is daylight saving in Europe, which marks the beginning of summer in European nations as the clocks go forward by 1 hour. So they'll be enjoying a summer against the backdrop of declining economies, political turmoil in many cases, and potentially, who knows, a full-scale war with Russia. So perhaps not the summer everyone in Europe was hoping for. But that's Sunday for you.
Let's just hope it's a mass immiseration of the poor working families of Western Europe and not nuclear war, which would wipe out all those families. But Easter eggs mean cocoa. And interesting what's happening in West Africa, clearly, because it looks like enough is enough for the working people who harvest cocoa, the commodity. Who knows? Perhaps Western Europe won't be able to afford Easter eggs soon when these Africans finally are paid proper money to make chocolate. Hopefully under the BRICS regime, under the AIIB regime, under the system of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, all these countries throwing off NATO nations, CIA cuts out, French dictatorship de facto, will get real fair trade chocolate for Easter.
Okay. Well, on that note, we really better leave it there because we are running over. Thank you so much for watching. Please do subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment. We love to hear what you have to say. We're on YouTube, Spotify, X, and several podcasting platforms. Let us know what you think about these upcoming events.
And put your thumbs up. What are all those things everyone always says? We're going to say that.
Comment, like, subscribe, all of that good stuff that you can do. We would really appreciate your support.
Don't send this video to the CIA, though, or someone, because don't they control these platforms that we're on?
Well, I don't know. I mean, would you think we'd have been taken down already, perhaps? I don't know.
But look, taken down. That's obviously it. But people can tune into the ongoing congressional investigations into that, of course, all week, I think.
Okay. Well, look. Thank you very much for watching, and we will see you next week with more.
Bye.